No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, Bears fans, and welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure you like, subscribe, leave a comment, and share this YouTube channel and this podcast with a fellow Bears fan. Thank you guys for tuning in. I was deciding whether or not I was actually going to do a show today, but, you know, something about, you know, maybe waking up at 5 a.m. to watch the, you know, the Chicago Cubs eventually lose to the Los Angeles Dodgers, but it was cool watching baseball that early in the morning. So I watched the entire game. I was up, got the dog out, went for a workout, and then I'm like, all right, let's do this. Obviously I shaved too, brought back the mustache, did that last night. I'm like, all right, let's do a show today. There's some stuff I want to talk to you guys about. And really quickly, got to give a shout out to my guy, Elliot here. I'm wearing this Lyrical Lemonade hoodie. Sent me a bunch of dope merch. So, I mean, I'm wearing it right now, of course, super comfortable and it looks fresh. So appreciate my guy, Elliot, Lyrical Lemonade, and appreciate everybody for tuning in and hanging out to this latest edition of the Nicholas Moriano Show. So as you can see in the headline, are the Chicago Bears looking for a return specialist? Plus Daniel Jeremiah, who I respect so, so much. Actually, when Herb Howard and I were driving down to Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine, we literally played a 3-hour media call that Daniel Jeremiah had with, you know, NFL media. And it got us all the way from Chicago to Indy. And there was still time left where he was previewing, answering questions, bunch of prospects. So if there's anybody really in the game that I'm going to, you know, just value their opinion, it's Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. So again, to what who he had the Bears selecting at number 10, but we're going to get into that a little bit later, but I'll let people kind of come in here, and we're going to start with our first topic of the day. And that's, like I said, are the Bears looking for that next return specialist? Because they did just sign officially Olamide Zaccheaus, who spent time with the Washington Commanders, was a year in Philadelphia, actually played with DeAndre Swift there, and those guys are actually high school teammates. And then he was in Atlanta for 4 seasons. So it was a signing, and we got the media got a chance to talk to him on Monday, see himself primarily playing in the slot, but does have that outside versatility. Actually, when you look at the splits in his career, it's actually pretty close. He has spent a little bit more time in the slot, but is a guy that lined up out wide as well throughout his time in the NFL. But something I did not mention on the very first, whenever the first time I mentioned Olamide Zaccheaus, probably when he first signed, is that he does have this ability as a return man. And just kind of looking at, you know, what he's done in his career for punt returns. He has 20 attempts for 215 yards, 17 came last year with the Washington Commanders, and 3 came back in 2021 with the Atlanta Falcons. He also, kickoffs are not really much of his thing, or he hasn't shown or been given that opportunity to do so. Only has 3 in his career, 2 came back in 2021 with the Falcons, and 1 with the Philadelphia Eagles. So, okay, when you're thinking about all the reasons why maybe the Bears went into signing Zacchaeus for a one-year deal. Not only his ability to play in the slot, but that punt return ability, I think, also will come into play. Because really quickly before I talk about Rondell Moore, Mecole Hardman, who also did visit the Bears, according to Tom Pelissero, on Monday they visited, also have return ability. We got to go back and rewind a little bit. Go back to the Bears 2024 season. Who was even doing that? If you guys remember, it was DeAndre Carter. He was going to be your primary return man, especially when it came to kickoffs. He had 15 attempts there, 479 yards, 67 was his long. The next guy behind him for kickoffs was Tyler Scott. He had 8 attempts, 207 yards. And then you had Travis Homer, Khalil Herbert, Josh Blackwell, and Velus Jones. All each had one kickoff return when they were, you know, some of those guys when they were with the Bears. And obviously Homer and Blackwell have been re-signed. They're back with the team. In terms of punts for the Bears last season, that was still DeAndre Carter's role. 17 of those attempts for 158 yards. But then you also had Josh Blackwell. And I remember if you guys went all the way back to summer, I previewed and, you know, had a one-on-one with Josh Blackwell. And we talked about his punt returning ability. And guess what? He had 7 attempts, 146 yards. That 94-yard long touchdown against the Green Bay Packers. So that gives you an idea who was even doing it in the first place for the Bears. And maybe they're looking for guys who also come in and give the Bears essentially a boost at that position. Not to say that, you know, Josh Blackwell maybe isn't deserving to have a shot at the punt return job just based off what he did. But when you look at the two guys that have visited in Rondell Moore and Mecole Hardman, they also have plenty of experience with being return men, whether it's punt and kick returning. So let's go with Rondell Moore here first. Obviously a guy that I think is just, he's dealt with a lot of injuries throughout his career, but just looking at his last season as a receiver, 40 receptions, 352 yards and a touchdown. Okay. So it's not world beating by any means. 2021 year, his rookie season, 54 catches, 435 yards, which is his career high. And one touchdown. He's had one touchdown each of his first three seasons in the NFL. But to highlight what he's done as a return man, this is what Rondell Moore brings to the table and why maybe the Bears are considering bringing a guy like this into the building, interviewing him, seeing what he's like and things like that. But last season for the Arizona Cardinals, punts, played in 17 games, only had one attempt. So obviously maybe not much there, but he did have 21 punt return attempts in 2021. In kickoffs, he 2021, 13 kick returns for 291 yards, none in 2023. So Rondell Moore, maybe, you know, he's shown it in the past, hasn't done it as recently. Let's go to Mecole Hardman though, real quickly. A guy that's been, obviously, with the Chiefs, I think everyone will know him from his time there. But in terms of what he, I mean, as a receiver, didn't, you know, do too much in 2024 regular season, 12 catches, 90 yards. That's what Mecole Hardman has done, but been in the league since 2019. So obviously a veteran, has seen some stops or seen some things throughout his career in terms of playoff success, playing in a good offense and knowing those types of things. But as a return man, I mean, this is where I think if you're looking like true competition for maybe a guy like Zacchaeus or even Josh Blackwell, if Mecole Hardman is to be signed on this team, I think it makes sense. He has 89 punt returns in his career dating back to 2019. 20 came in 2024 and 203 yards, which is actually a career high for Mecole Hardman that he's had in his career. And then kickoffs as well. He has 45 in his career kickoffs, and 5 of them were last season. 27, he had a majority of those in 2019, his rookie year, for 1,073 yards. One touchdown came in his rookie season in 2019. Actually, he has also a punt return in 2020. And so he has 2 total touchdowns as a return man, doing a little bit of both. Okay, here we go. Rockstar, good timely comment here. Rockstar 80, Mecole Hardman is a possibility. He has a connection to Poles and his wife and her entire family is from Chicago. That's huge. It's huge. The connection with Poles is huge. And also the necessity of maybe having, you know, a guy that provides stability and reliability at the punt return spot or kick return spot, because Mecole Hardman definitely has a majority of those reps, and just has more than all the other guys currently on the Bears roster, but also who they've also brought in. So I think that this is, when you're looking at those two guys, Rondell Moore, that would be another Moore on the Bears team, which would be fine, and Mecole Hardman, I think that's what you got to also factor in here. Those would be guys that maybe, I can't even give you a number how many offensive snaps they would have during a season when you do have guys like DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Zacchaeus, however Ben Johnson feels about Tyler Scott, and one of these guys, like, there's only so many, there's only one football and only so many opportunities within a game. So I would think those two guys, you're looking at a return role who can also complement as that third/fourth piece in the wide receiver room. So it makes sense. I think the Bears, like, for, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but even a guy like DeAndre Carter, someone that was a veteran, and I think did a, well, he had his moments, right, with muffed punts, and that even went back to last preseason, I remember. It was against the Kansas City Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken. Because I remember asking DeAndre Carter in the locker room, just kind of what happened in that game, that preseason game. And then what was it? Was it the game against the Seahawks? I couldn't even remember right now, but just I just think that the Bears need to get that position right. Don't let that position be an issue later on in the season. You need someone that's going to be experienced, that's going to handle the elements at Soldier Field, but wherever the Bears honestly play. Just having that stability there, I think, can create a lot less issues as the season goes on. When you know you just have somebody that's done it for a while, and you know, I think Mecole Hardman has shown and has done it most recently that if you're going to bring him in, like, that's the role he's probably going to have on this football team. So definitely wanted to, you know, just kind of talk that through, and it would just be nice. And look, the return man position is obviously over the years been devalued, I think, and it hasn't been as prominent in terms of the impact they can create. But you know, when you have a dude back there that other return units, coverage units fear, like, that puts a lot of stress on guys. And I know that Richard Hightower can speak to that and knows exactly what, you know, a impactful return man can do to an opposing unit, just how much more time you got to focus on maybe the special teams throughout the week as you're preparing for somebody that could take it the distance or even just gain, you know, good yardage on whatever opportunity he's going to get throughout a game. So not going to overlook special teams. I think it's a huge part of what this, obviously the game of football, and is somebody that, you know, was unfortunately put back there as a punt returner. I know how difficult that could be too. And that's at the high school level. Like, I can't even fathom thinking about looking up with 200 plus dudes running for whatever's and just ready to smack you right down and tackle you for no yardage. But something to consider, and we'll see if the Bears actually end up making a move on one of the two guys that they brought in. They won't bring in both, but if one of those two guys gets brought in, maybe you're looking at Rondell Moore, more upside as a receiver if he can stay healthy. Mecole Hardman, the more consistent punt return specialist. So things that they got to weigh and consider here as they are just looking at, you know, different options at the return man spot. Okay. You know what? I think because the next segment, like, this wasn't going to be a completely long show. And also, I really appreciate everybody. I'm seeing in the comments of the last video, I asked right at the end of the show, what's a good length for you guys as you're kind of listening, consuming different Bears content, I'm sure. Whether that's audio version, YouTube version here, like, what's a good length for this show? And I got varying responses, like, Nick, go the hour. I jokingly said, I'm one man, but I could still find an hour worth. Maybe at this point that's not going to happen, but an hour, I saw 30 minutes, 45 minutes, bring on a guest. So, like, I get it. I'll weigh in the options here, but appreciate the feedback. This one definitely won't go as long. So what we're actually going to do right here, because the two segments kind of align, we're going to take our first break, and then we can kind of get the show flowing nice and organically. And look, wouldn't be doing any of this without my friends at Windy City Sports Cards. Look, they specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. Whether you are a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to their Chicago-focused items, they also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. Visit their online store, everybody, to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or discover a new favorite. You can check them out at 312-WindyCitySports.com. Check them out, 312-WindyCitySports.com. Like, guys, the Cubs baseball is back, and I don't know, this is not even a reminder, but I grew up a Sox fan, and as most of you know, like, baseball is not the biggest thing for me, but, you know, I woke up, I was there at 5 a.m. watching, and I'm an idiot. I thought you can only stream on Marquee, so I ended up getting the app and doing all of that when it was just on the, you know, national broadcast as well. So I ended up watching the game. It was fun for, you know, a little bit, and then, you know, things happened. The fifth inning, things kind of unraveled there, but it's one of 62. I feel it's great. I think covering baseball is so much more difficult than football. Just, again, longevity, all the games. Like, when it's football, it should be a big deal every single game because there's not 162 of them like there is in baseball. So I couldn't even imagine, like, the emotions that go through a baseball season, the streaks of winning, whatever it may be, but that's what it is. But yes, go check out Windy City Sports Cards. Get some new Cubs gear. Get some new Bears gear. The Bulls are not the worst, and I can't say that I've watched many of them, but or many games. But they're the Bulls. Whatever. All right. So next thing I want to kind of talk about here, you guys, is it's a little joint segment. Like I said, we're gonna transition this really smoothly here. But PFF had an article come out saying 2025 NFL free agency five most improved units. And I think, to no surprise, the Chicago Bears are on here with their offensive line. That shouldn't be a surprise really to anybody. But as I was looking at the five teams or the five units, notice that every single one of these teams is in the NFC. And two of the teams that had improved units will also be opponents that the Bears will face this upcoming season. But it makes, again, like I said, makes complete sense that the Bears' offensive line is here. You can completely revamp the interior with left guard Joe Tooney, center Drew Dahlman, and right guard Jonah Jackson, bringing in guys that are former Pro Bowlers, Super Bowl champs, and Drew Dahlman, who I think is an ascending football player that should mesh, I think, quite well with what Ben Johnson wants to do, paired with the two new guards that he has. So it makes complete sense that the Bears are one of the five teams on this list of most improved position groups after free agency. Another one is right within the NFC North and is at the exact same position group in the Minnesota Vikings. And what they added, Ryan Kelly from Indianapolis to take over the center spot for Garrett Bradbury. And just a little excerpt here from PFF: since 2023, Kelly's 10th among all centers in PFF grade, while Bradbury is 24th. The Vikings also added guard Will Fries. Although he only played five games last season, his 86.9 PFF grade would have been tied for second among guards who played at least 250 snaps. So, guys, I mean, it's not just the Bears that have made moves in, you know, the offseason, giving Caleb Williams a better chance to succeed in year two. So have the Minnesota Vikings, and giving J.J. McCarthy just a chance to see what he's got in year two. And it'll be interesting to see with all the Rodgers news. I mean, is it Minnesota? Is it Pittsburgh? Like, we don't know at this point yet, but I have a feeling J.J. McCarthy will be the guy that the Vikings feel good about. Obviously, feel good about. You traded, you got him. he's your future of the franchise there, but now you're putting some better stability in front of him on the offensive line to ensure that he can have the best, I guess, true rookie season, even though it's year two for him in 2025. So not just the Bears are improving on the offensive line, everybody, but so is the Minnesota Vikings, according to PFF. And then I don't want to give away the entire article, but the other team that the Bears will face in 2025. And I was talking to this with somebody at the gym, like, where is that game on the road or is it home? Because the Bears just played, you know, at the Commanders last year. We all know how that ended up, but they're back there in Washington this upcoming season. So that's the next team that also had its position group dramatically increase following free agency. And right off the bat, the author of this, I want to give them a shout out too. This is Max Chadwick, who wrote this article for PFF. And I respect everybody at PFF. They do a great job. They a lot of metrics stuff. I love using just some of the grades. I know can get, I guess people question them, but right off the bat, while it's not necessarily a specific position group, the Commanders have done an excellent job surrounding franchise quarterback Jaden Daniels with a better ecosystem. I like that word, ecosystem. They got left tackle Laremy Tunsil. They also got Deebo Samuel. And, you know, pair him up with Terry McLaurin. So when you look at, I think, collectively what they're doing, you're helping protect Jaden Daniels and you're adding another target playmaker for him. And we already know what Jaden Daniels did in his rookie season. Yeah, that's going to be a unit, guys. Like, however much you maybe, I don't know, I'm sure there's a part of the fan base that maybe either dislikes Jaden Daniels or is jealous of what Daniels did over instead of Caleb, or just doesn't care. Like, whatever it is, but the Washington Commanders, I don't think they're going anywhere. And I thought, especially early on last season, I was a little hesitant with everything that they were doing early on. I thought it was a little bit, not gimmicky, but I thought teams would figure out a little bit quicker of how to maybe stop that Commanders offense with Cliff Kingsbury, but that didn't end up being the case. And, you know, Philadelphia worked them in the NFC Championship game. But this, I think, is, if anything, I like Rockstar 80's comment of how maybe I would be looking at it's not a rivalry. It's not a rivalry, but there is something there between Bears and Commanders. I can't wait for the Bears versus Commanders rematch this season. Me too. Like, I'm really looking forward to this. Look, the Bears had it won right at the end there. Caleb Williams drove down that team down the field, and they should have won that game. And we all know how it ended. But, like, that was a defensive battle, and it ended up winning on a Hail Mary. So I'm looking forward to this rematch. And Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, I'm hoping for a more offensive output for both teams in that next version of it this upcoming season. But that's definitely one that I'm going to have marked on the calendar. Obviously, you have all the NFC North games because of how competitive they are. But Washington Commanders, for sure, you feel I don't know. I just feel excited about that matchup. I guess it depends on the type of, you know, where the Bears are at in the season, how everyone's looking. But if both teams are rolling, man, that can easily be a good one. Let's see. I do have my last segment, but I want to make sure that I get to any of these comments here. Dub Bears Necessities Pod. What a great stash. Got that Luigi look going on. Well done. Appreciate it. My fiance, she's going to see this, the mustache, and hate me for it. She does not like the stash. I bring it out every once in a while. Something like I'll like it in the beginning, and then as like maybe the week goes on, I'm like, okay, the Bears already come back in. Just let everything grow out. But the Bears Necessity Pod, appreciate you. Let's see. Anything else that we have in here? We have the Shadow Bear. Daniels is also the reason Commanders won or stayed in games. Kind of like Williams. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, look, they each had Daniels rookie of the year, but they each had good rookie seasons when you look at them. And for different reasons, Daniels and where they went and how well that team was humming and you know, the offense, what it looked like. But you can't to me, when you look at Caleb Williams' rookie season, like, there was a lot going on there, you guys. And some of it was his own doing. But when you have so much change and just, I think, instability, whether it is the offensive line, the play caller, however you want to look at it, to see what he still did and accomplished. And throughout that season, I know a lot was made out of body language, things like that. But, you know, I thought he was still always engaged, was, you know, committed to, you know, during the season, like wanting to, you know, find solutions rather than problems. So, like, year two, I'm really looking forward to year two, what he can do, Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson, this new revamped offensive line. Let's play ball, man. Let's see how this goes. And like I said, Bears Commanders, I feel like they've been playing for the last couple of years now. But yeah, because DJ Moore went crazy on him for 200 plus in that primetime game. That was nuts. That was nuts in itself to be there to watch that one and then watch the Hail Mary. Tale of two games for sure. All right, guys, let's get into the final segment here that I have. And like I was talking about at the top, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, knows everything about everything when it comes to draft prospects. And I just think that if you want to know like what he's thinking, a lot of times when he's making these mocks, it's also what he's hearing around the league, very plugged in, knows what he's talking about. So I don't know, again, when he's making this one, you know, having a little bit of variety there. This is what, and I'm not going to read off all of the picks. I want you to, you know, you can go read this NFL mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah 3.0. Go check it out. Well, I think the most important thing right here that I want to focus on is number 10. And that's the Chicago Bears and their first round draft pick. And who he has selecting, I have no issue with. That would be offensive tackle Will Campbell, LSU. And there's his little summary of it. The overhaul of the offensive line is now complete with a new left tackle in place. Chicago's trio of March O-line acquisitions. That would be Joe Tooney, Jonah Jackson, Drew Dolman, will be sandwiched between two top 10 picks in Campbell and right tackle Darnell Wright. Interesting. I remember reading this article earlier in the day, and it said top 15. And I'm like, wait, why didn't they just put top 10? Darnell Wright's a top 10 pick too. So there we go. I don't have an issue with that, you guys. Will Campbell, if Will Campbell's available at 10, and Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham, Ben Johnson are all looking at, you know, the board, how it's lining up. And at that point, I will reveal this. Ashton Gentry's already gone by that point at 10 in Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft 3.0. So he's off the table, you guys. Off the table, Ashton Gentry, for people who maybe were considering him there with the 10th pick. But if Will Campbell's still there, I have no issue with the Bears selecting him. And however that plays out, like, if obviously, like, you're doing that with the mindset of him replacing Braxton Jones. And I also would think that they're making that pick too. Actually, you know what? I'm going to play devil's advocate with myself here. You can make that pick with him with knowing that you feel comfortable with the arm length and he's going to be your left tackle. And I know Daniel Jeremiah has also written this before about Will Campbell, that his arm length is not seen as big of an issue amongst NFL circles. And I know he also wrote that, you know, should be a 10 year starter. Again, these are draft projections now. Injuries happen. Who knows? But if that's not the case, let's say you draft him, Will Campbell, but like Joe Tooney, just hear me out a little bit. He's obviously on the back end of his career. If that's a guy that you see also plugging in and playing left guard at some point with Will Campbell, I think he's more than capable of doing that as well. But it's also, it all depends here. It all depends on what Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham think of the arm length and if they believe he could play left tackle in sleek. If they do that, if they believe that, then he's playing left tackle. But also, like, he does have, I think, even though he's only played left tackle in his career at LSU, I think he has that ability to slide inside and also be that 10-year starter at guard as well. Now, the question is, are you drafting, if you're drafting him with a top 10 pick, is that what you want to do with the guard? If that's how you see him, if that's how the Bears see him, that's not what I'm saying. I think he can go play tackle. So it all depends on how the Bears actually view it. If they automatically have eliminated him from contention because of, you know, physical measurements, then that won't be the pick. But I just don't know. Yeah, obviously I don't know. And neither does anybody outside of Hallis Hall and probably people within Hallis Hall, whether it's like a core group of people that are deciding this, you know, obviously crucial pick. I've always said too, as you know, the draft is slowly approaching here, that moving back, I think, is still probably the best option here. If you can find a trade partner, still stay in those mid-teens and, you know, find obviously a player you like in that area of the draft. But Will Campbell there at 10 for the Chicago Bears. Man, how, like, when was it Ben Johnson at the scouting combine saying that they can overhaul the unit, the offensive line in an offseason. That would do it. That would be like the cherry on top to get a young first round draft pick on a tackle. You have obviously your right tackle and Darnell Wright, a top 10 pick, and then you completely revamped it with trades and free agent signings. That, you know, true to his word. And, you know, we'll see if that ends up happening in this upcoming draft. But when I saw it, I'm like, okay, have no issue with it. No issue whatsoever. All right, you guys, I'm going to quickly just kind of scroll through the comments. See if you have any questions, actually, this would be a good time to put them in here before I close out the show. Like I said, it wasn't going to be an hour long, but I did want to get on here and just kind of talk through some things. Actually, you know what? I've actually gotten in a good habit too, because I'm not looking at Twitter when I go on these live streams, obviously, but just making sure that nothing has happened. You know, did they sign anybody? No, it doesn't seem like to be the case right now. But let me scroll through the comments, highlight some of you guys here, and see what we got. We have Eric Bochen. Jeremiah also has said in some interviews that Tyler Warren could be in play because as much 12 personnel Johnson likes to use, said a creative play caller like Johnson would make it work. Yeah, and I was having a conversation with somebody about this too. I mean, a playmaker like that. Well, so what's been really good about what the Bears and the acquisitions they made is that they made it really flexible. So had someone brought up Tyler Warren, you know, prior to the trades and free agent signings, I would have been like, you're insane. But now you can have that. You can have that conversation and be convinced one way or the other on it. So yeah, the Lions use more 12 personnel than any team in the NFL last season, according just in terms of snap usage, with that 12 personnel, two tight end sets. You have Durham Smythe that they signed from Miami. Not going to have a much of a receiving threat. He's never shown that throughout his career, but when I see him, most likely the Brock Wright role that Ben Johnson had in Detroit to complement Sam Laporta, Smythe to be that compliment to Cole Kmet. But Tyler Warren, not only is he a compliment, I mean, that's a weapon. That's a weapon to go along with Cole Kmet. So that would be really, really interesting. Let's see, Dr. Truth. Somebody, if not two of the interior line will get hurt this year, Will Campbell would be a dream to fill in at guard. See, that's the thing too. It's like, you need to have depth. And Ben Johnson also talked about that. You don't need just a starting five O-line. You need 6, 7, 8, 9. You need to feel good about those guys as well. And yeah, if you did draft a guy like Will Campbell, and if he's not automatically starting at left tackle, then yeah, he's depth right there at guard for sure. Yeah, King Wayne. I just don't think Campbell will be there at all. Probably not too. Like, that's a thing. That's why, like, I haven't done a mock draft yet. I will. I probably have 3 or 4 of them before the draft actually comes out, but it definitely, after free agency, have more clarity, gives you a better idea of what you can actually put out there. But yeah, he might not be there. Rockstar 80, I like the idea of trading back from 10 and picking up Josh Simmons. That's another guy too. The medical's clear. Our medicals look good on him. Yeah, that could be another weapon there at the offensive tackle position, and somebody that you know, I think would mesh with what Ben Johnson and this Bears offense would like to have out of a starting left tackle. Oh, here we go. Smack 'ems. If by a miracle Mason Graham is there, hope they take him. Otherwise, training back would be nice for this year's draft. Yeah, if Mason Graham is there too, you're finding whoever that runner is to give the card to Roger Goodell, who's then going to go to the podium and say, you know, Mason Graham, Michigan. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you right there too. I did an episode, that was just yesterday, the top five needs following free agency for the Bears. Tackle is still one of them. Defensive tackle is still one of them. I still had edge rusher, safety, running back. Spoiled the show, but if you haven't watched that, you should go watch that. I gave a lot more analysis and reasons why and stats, things like that. So go check out that episode on my YouTube channel. But Mason Graham, defensive tackle, would definitely fit for what the Bears could still be adding there. Here we go. We have Do It All. Do It All 36. Sometimes with these YouTube names, because they're all crunched in, I almost want to just say them all at once and make up a word, but I'm glad I didn't. Do It All 36 polls is really big on arm length. NFL doesn't have any Oreo bowlers is below 33-inch arms, and he has a small wingspan too. Tooney's arms are similar length, and he's struggling Super Bowl at tackle. Also, to be fair, Tooney doesn't play tackle. He wasn't supposed to be. I mean, he did it out of necessity. He had to. But when you look at his career, I think I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but he had like 77 career snaps at left tackle other than that 2024 season. So, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to, you know, say what Tooney has done, because he's been, you know, an all-pro left guard, and that's just not his position. It's just different, even for a guy like that. I want to get the exact number too, just to make sure. Oh, here we go. That would be Jonah Jackson's stats. There we go. Left tackle. Yeah, he had 76 snaps at left tackle prior to the 2024 season. So, yeah, it's just not a position that he's played a lot of, to be completely honest. CZ, the stash is absolutely epic. 10 out of 10. I mean, I think that just might be, you know, the way to end this show. No. I appreciate it, CZ, but definitely make sure to see if there's any last questions here, just so I can get them in here. Eric Bochen, do you think someone panics and trades up to take Jackson Dart? Could he be a potential trade partner for 10? Oh, man. I've seen some, again, they're mocks. It's fine. I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, 10 seems a little, 10 seems rich to go get a guy like Jackson Dart. And I don't know. Again, it's a completely different draft for quarterbacks than it is for every other player in this draft. So when it's a weaker draft at the quarterback position, that could force teams to make some drastic decisions. But right now, I don't think that's going to be what ends up happening there. But yeah, guys, I think that's going to end up doing it for the show. I really appreciate, you know, everybody coming in, hanging out, leaving comments, interacting with each other in the chat. That's what I love to see too. Just give you a space to hang out amongst each other, respect each other's decisions, talk some Bears football, and, you know, March 18th. And we're getting closer there to the draft. So I'm going to make sure to kind of get back into that, part of the NFL offseason, just doing more homework on these draft prospects, because it's been a lot of free agency, a lot of other things happening. So be back. It would be nice to just watch film and get better ideas of, you know, the first round's great and all, but like even second round guys, the Bears have two of those picks in the second round. So appreciate everyone for coming in here, making a lively chat and, you know, having fun along the way. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. If you haven't already, if you're one of the people in here right now and you haven't, one, maybe like this video, even leave a comment after you're done, subscribe to the YouTube channel, or if you're an audio listener, and I swear I'm still working on Apple Podcasts. I don't know what it is, but I'm working on that. You can still subscribe on Spotify, and someday I'll be up on Apple Podcasts. But appreciate everybody. I don't know why I'm yawning. What's going on here? It's because I was up at 5 a.m. watching a baseball game. But that's going to do it. I will do another video potentially tomorrow. Who knows? I think I also have to get some writing done on Bear Goggles On. So go check out all my written work on there as well. And, you know, I'll see you guys next time. But until then, adios, Bears fans.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans, fans.
People want to hear me talk.